Get past everybody, it's me, J.S. Santi, also known as Alex, and you are about to listen to our roundtable discussion of Tron Legacy. Now, before you do that, let me just let everyone know that we are adults and we will be using adult language. I try to keep the more severe profanity down to a minimum, but it still seeps in from time to time, so there will be profanity, and just let you all know, this is for mature audiences. Okay, there's a fair warning. I don't want anyone on the forums complaining about the language, alright? Okay, this is your last warning. You sure you want to continue? You sure? Alright then! Everyone, enjoy the rest of the show. Peace! Everybody, it is me, Alex, also known as J.S. Santi, and welcome to the Tron Legacy Roundtable Discussion, hosted by the Nerdsphere. Just want to say a quick thank you to Matt, also known as Time Lord, for giving us the okay to do this roundtable. And everyone who's listening, go check out the Nerdsphere if you haven't already. Now, moving on to my co-hosts who are going to be in this roundtable discussing this movie, we have Bob, also known as Hulkster.
What up, dogs?
Nice. All right. Next one, we have Sean, a.k.a. Cybertron X.
Hello, people.
Nice. Next one up, someone that's probably the biggest Tron fan that I know is Anthony, also known as Moon.
I think it's only fitting if I start off by saying, greetings, programs.
And of course, and last but certainly not least is Josh, also known as Barricade64.
Greetings, users.
All right, again, thank you so much, everyone who joined me in this. Didn't have a specific time, but hopefully you guys are here, you guys are well relaxed, and we can get started. You guys ready?
I'm moist and ready to go.
Let's light this.
All right, so first things first, we're going to go down the list, and the first thing we're going to talk about is, before going into watching the movie, from everything that we've seen, from the trailers to teaser images to either tie-ins with comics or video games, after having seen or listened to all these things, what were you going in? What were your expectations for the movie? And we're going to start with Bob.
I was expecting to enjoy the movie. I was expecting to think Sam Flynn was a dick. And I was expecting... I don't know what else I was expecting. I was expecting to not like Sam Flynn. And I was expecting to be disappointed with the ending, I think, is what I was expecting.
Alright.
Nothing really.
Okay. Sean.
I went expecting, well, you know, I like the trailers and stuff like that, but I also went into expecting that Kevin Flynn had basically turned his back on the grid and letting it run wild, and also that Sam was actually coming in to help him. But I also thought I was going to, like Bob said, to hate Sam Flynn. And the ending was going to be a major letdown.
All right.
Moon.
I was hoping and praying that this wasn't going to turn out like The Last Airbender did.
Oh, you mean that Academy Award movie?
I don't believe Avatar won a decent award, but yeah, fuck off.
18 plus, children. 18 plus. This is now 18 plus.
Don't worry. I will tack on a mature thing in the front. Don't worry about it.
Warning.
God damn right you will.
Yeah.
Warning. Warning. Moon is in this podcast type thing. Warning.
Yeah, just put warning. Moon's part of this podcast. That's all you need to do.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Josh, what were your thoughts going into this movie?
Like Bob and Sean, I did have some concerns about Sam. I was afraid he'd turn out to be some emo punk kid, and I was really hoping he wouldn't be too bad. But the good I was expecting some great visuals, some great acting by Jeff Bridges, hopefully a reference here or there to the dude, because that's the role he's most well known for, and some Bruce Boxleitner, of course.
All right, and for me, I really didn't know what to expect from this movie going in. Seeing the trailers and seeing all the promotional stuff and even reading the comic, haven't played the game, but it got me a bit excited. Again, I still didn't know what to expect. I really did hope that this wasn't, with all the hype, I hope I wasn't going to come out of this feeling disappointed. That was really what I was, whatever happens, I just didn't want to come out disappointed.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. But onto that, all right, next thing is, after the movie, what did you guys think? Did things that were made you nervous, were they clear? Were they better? Did things that you didn't expect? Those type of things. Bob, starting with you.
I think, and look, I don't know how much you want me to say right now. I think at the end of the movie, I felt that it needed more Tron.
All right. Just keep it.
That was my initial response.
Yeah, just
that
keep
was it. No, that was it.
No, okay. Yeah, so basically, just keep it. You know, thing. Nothing too spoiler, but we are gonna go spoiler after this whole little thing. Sean.
Pretty epic movie. Can't wait for part three.
All right. Boom.
Could be dead by then.
Yeah, it'll be in the next 28 years. We'll see Tron 3. So. I gotta agree with Bob. I wish there was more Tron in it. Can't get too spoilerific now, but later on when we do get spoilerific, you'll hear why. So, but I was pleased with the movie, save for that one part.
Yeah, same here.
All right. Josh.
When I came out, I really enjoyed the movie. The only thing that really disappointed me is that there was nothing after the credits, and like Bob said, I really wish there had been more of Tron in it, considering how the movie's named him and it's not named The Grid. That might be a more appropriate name, but Tron just sounds cooler, I guess. But I went out very satisfied, and I'm definitely going to try and see it again.
All right. For me, I came out of the movie pretty satisfied with the movie. There were things that were a bit iffy with me, but overall I really did enjoy the experience. And, you know, once again, gonna echo what you guys have been saying. A bit more Tron, yes. Alright, now that that's all out of the way, everyone, at this point, there will be spoilers. Letting you know, if you have not seen the movie, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, get off your fucking ass and go see it, goddammit.
Get on Jeff Bridges!
But...
Jeff Bridges!
But...
Jeff Bridges!
Alright, Alex, calm down. Calm it down. Just sit, relax for a moment. Alright. If you haven't seen the movie yet, stop right now. But if you don't mind spoilers or you've seen the movie, enjoy the rest of the show. But I think before we get into the big spoilery stuff, the soundtrack, Daft Punk. This was their first score of a movie. Going down the list, what did you think, Bob?
Fucking godlike. The soundtrack is amazing. I love it. I listen to it in my car. I've been listening to it every day in my car since the movie came out. Since before the movie came out, really. And I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Cool.
I don't know what else to say.
Alright. Sean?
Sex for your eardrums.
Sex for your eardrums, ladies and gentlemen.
Yikes.
So
that's what the soundtrack is. It's pure sex for your eardrums.
So we got godlike and sex for eardrums. Alright, next on. Moon.
I honestly don't know how I could top godlike and sex for your eardrums, but it's fucking epic. I mean, the one, what was the one that I just like keep coming over? The two.
T-Rex?
Fuck, what was it? It was the second one on the soundtrack, The Grid, where it's got Jeff Bridges' monologue in the beginning of it. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And what was left? The final one, number 19, I think it was, Flynn Lives, is just amazing. And, of course, the end credits is just fucking cum-tastic.
Okay, so we got godlike, sex for eardrums, and cum-tastic. All right.
Josh, can you top that?
No, not really. It was perfect. It just suited the movie, the environment, perfectly. I cannot imagine seeing that movie without that soundtrack in the background. It just suited the world of Tron so well.
Nice. I definitely have to agree. The soundtrack was perfect for this type of movie. All of the songs fit perfectly with whichever scene it was in. I gotta agree. The Grid, that whole thing with the monologue, that was perfect, and it really got me into the movie. Even if you haven't seen the movie, if you hear that, you're like, man, I want to see this. And D-Rez, Daft Punk had a music video with that. Was great, but the song itself, it's just a very energetic, fist-pumping song. You just, like, want to get up and start getting your identity disc and just start de-rezzing everyone. It's great.
And special mention to the Journey song they put in. That was pretty kick-ass.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, yes, there were some other songs, you know, out of the world. But, yeah, there was nice nods. But overall, Daft Punk, I believe they should get a Golden Globe and an Academy Award for original soundtrack.
Who here would love to see at the – because of the Academy Awards, the groups that are nominated for best soundtrack and stuff like that or best song alike, they get to perform it at the Oscars. Who wants to see Daft Punk at the Oscars?
It's Daft Punk, not Das Punk, you fucktard. Daft Punk.
Well, do you still want to see him perform at the Oscars?
Hell yes. They need to perform D-Rez at the Oscars if they win this.
Okay. So, yeah, we agree. Daft Punk is awesome. Definitely check out the soundtrack. All right, we're going to move on. Bob stepped out for a moment. He'll be back. Until then, we're going to move on. All right. Now, this is the point of the show where we're just going to just talk about a lot of things. We're not going to specific detail, like topic wise. We're just going to throw out things that you really liked about the movie. What were some things in the movie that you really did like? And again, we're going to be spoiler, so watch out. So starting with Sean, what were the things you saw in the movie that you really liked?
Overall, okay. One of the things I really liked is, when you saw, okay, in the original series, when Kevin Flynn awoke inside the grid, he was already in clothing for the grid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this one, you actually got to see Sam get his grid clothing, which was honestly a really cool scene, and also the attachment of his identity disc, which, when activated, if anybody caught it, you saw his eyes flash for like a millisecond.
Mm-hmm.
That I really love. I just love the use of the costumes and for a lot of people who don't know, I watched a little bit of behind-the-scenes footage. A lot of it was practical sets with CGI sets, so it really, to the point where you couldn't tell what was CGI and what was real. So to me, that is fantastic when you can't determine one from another. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Down to the overall acting, knowing just everything was perfect. One of the things I didn't like.
Well, we'll go to the things you didn't like later, okay?
Oh, what I didn't like. But overall, just, hey, can I just say it?
Go ahead.
Freaking light jets.
Oh, yes. Best.
Light fighters.
Light fighters, light jets, light orgasmic. That's all it was.
It was amazing.
All right. So, all right, we're going to move on to Moon. What were the things that you saw in the movie that really got you all jazzed up?
Well, first off, again, the soundtrack, that just, it gave me chills at the right moment. Like, at the end when they're in the light jet fight, it's just Clue and Rinsler left, and Sam doesn't have the guns anymore, and Rinsler flies right over the ship, and Kevin's looking up, he's like, Tron, what have they done to you? And then something just clicks inside of Rinsler, and he becomes Tron again. And he's just like, I fight for the users. I'm like, oh, my God, it's amazing. And then he just crashes right into Clue. It was just, that was awesome. Just the music along with that was amazing. The end when they're at the portal, that was just awesome. It was great. It was just great. So, yeah.
All right, Josh, you're up.
The games, I really like what they did with them. It's a real step up from what they had in the original Tron while still having the same feel, just like they've cranked the intensity up to 11. You feel a lot more tension with them, especially with the light cycle fights, with all the, like, valleys you can go under. I just, like, really thought that was a cool innovation. And, of course, I like how you can turn on and off the light walls that you create. That way, you don't always have to go around on a light cycle making walls that can kill people.
Yeah. So, all right. So, with me, there are a lot of things that I really liked about this movie. Whether it was... What I thought was pretty cool was... I just liked the whole sequence in the beginning where Sam goes to NCOM and just, like, secretly takes all the NCOM OS 12 program that, you know, it's just, like, when you see that scene, when you see those people who work, and they're just, like, so against of what Kevin thought about, what were his beliefs about the company, and he just, like, hey, I'm following my dad. I'm going to do what my dad wants, even though I'm not part of the company. He just does all that. That's pretty cool. But onto the grid. But onto the grid itself, just when he entered the games, those were pretty cool. And, you know, just the nice, just the movements when he was doing the identity disc throwing game. Just the choreographing, that was pretty cool. A lot of mix of martial arts and whatnot. That was pretty cool. And there's so many things I want to talk about, but I don't want to make this too long. But light cycles, badass, and I got to say, when people were being derezzed, or programs were being derezzed, it got pretty gory.
It's very organic look to it, too.
It looked a lot better than it did in the first one.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously it's going to look better because of the differences in the times, but, like, just seeing somebody just become, like, these little cubes and then just dissolving altogether, it was just... wow, you know?
Yeah, that was like...
If you think about it, it's almost like, yeah, the reason when they were being derezzed in the first Tron, because it's probably on one of those Radio Shacks TRS-80s, so not much computing power to delete somebody. And then now you have the mega supercomputers that, you know, oh, we can remove bits and data and save what we want, but let's delete little bits.
Sean, you're old.
That being said, yes, he is. But, yeah, that was cool. And just the whole, you know, even some of the characters themselves were pretty cool. I liked who was the bartender that owned the nightclub? What was
his name?
Zeus.
Caster or Zeus?
Caster, who was really Zeus.
That guy was cool. I definitely dug his character for the time he was on. And I think just overall, there was just so many things I did like about this movie. And yeah, that's, again, a lot of stuff I want to talk about, but I just don't want to make this too long, but definitely a lot of things. Now, we're going to go on to, since we pointed out a lot of good things about the movie, we're going to talk about any things that we either didn't like or wish it was better or any nitpicks that you had. Starting with Sean.
Okay, one character I felt that they could have done without was that stupid right-hand man, the Clue.
Jarvis.
Call him who he really was. That was Waspinator.
Death to the users!
Yeah, that gave him a whole bunch of, did him a whole bunch of help after he got derezzed by Clue after that, you know?
Yeah.
After basically letting Sam take Kevin's identity disc back. Anyway.
I mean, especially when Sam walks in, looks at him, he just goes, long live the users, and slunks back down like, don't hurt me.
Yeah.
Mortron, like everybody said, Mortron. Needed more Tron. It was called Tron, yet we see Tron for like 2 seconds.
Barely.
Yeah.
Barely. We saw him in the one flashback with the young Kevin and Clue as they're like beginning to create the grid. And then you see him at the end, technically, after Rinsler becomes good again. It's in the water when he's basically dying. Suppose.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? The one thing I get, Kevin made the portal to be where this one thing that no program he can get to and get out, right?
Yep.
Why is there a train to the portal?
It's so that he can get there.
Yeah,
he built this new grid, so he probably built the train to specifically go there.
That's why Clue needed the identity disc to get there and then to go through the portal. That's the whole thing.
You know what else we needed? You know what else we needed in this movie? More recognizers.
No.
Yeah.
They served a purpose, and I think how they were portrayed in the film was superb. I don't think you really needed to add more of them. They served a different purpose in the first one than they do in this one.
All right. I'm glad they were in it all, though.
Oh, it definitely needs to be there. Definitely needs to be there.
All right. But I will get to you in a moment once we get everyone done, and then we'll catch up with you on your thoughts of everything.
Also.
All right, Moon, anything that you didn't particularly like or wish was improved on, et cetera, et cetera?
Again, with the Mortron, I didn't really not like the movie that much. I was just reading online a couple of days ago, I think it was. It was the scene in the light disc battles where Sam gets cut. It was against Rinsler, actually, where Sam got cut and he's bleeding. And people are bitching, like, saying that's a plot hole. I'm like, how is that a plot hole? We never saw a user get hurt that badly in the first movie to see what would happen to him. It's like, why are you bitching about that little thing? Are you just probably finding something to bitch about against the movie? But I didn't see a real problem or a plot hole with the whole bleeding of users inside the grid. But I just like to know why people are bringing that up on things. But again, I don't really have that many gripes with the movie.
All right, Josh.
The main problem I had was the ambiguity of the end and what happens to the grid. I've heard some people say Kevin merging with Clue destroyed it, and that what Sam has on his neck is just his father's identity disc. I've also heard people say, it's the grid on that little necklace he has. I just wish that had been a bit more clear. But I guess they can use that ambiguous ending to make the third movie any way they want. And another thing, I didn't really find this a complaint, but a lot of people did, Clue, how he looks the young Jeff Bridges. People are calling it the Uncanny Valley, the more human something computerized looks or acts, the more creepy it is. I saw this in IMAX 3D. I spent a ton of money seeing this movie, and it didn't look that bad to me. Did any of you think it didn't look convincing or any problems with it?
Me personally, I think the only time it didn't look convincing was at the end when they were both combining, but that could be because Clue was being de-rezzed at the time, so, but, like, when Clue's, like, trying to grab Sam and Cora and on the portal, it just kind of, he looked a little bit worse than he did throughout the whole movie, but I think that was the only part that I didn't like, kind of.
I think that they were, although it is the best we've seen a human characterized or reverted back to the younger version of themselves ever, I still think that the technology isn't good enough that it could stand up next to a real person and look the same. It was still quite obviously computer generated, and the biggest giveaway was the hair. The hair was completely unrealistic. Which is no fault from the people, they did the best they could. But I think the whole film would have been better off in the whole grid sequences if everybody was CGI'd into grid sequences. And then it wouldn't have looked up, then it would have looked awesome.
Yeah. Like with that one flashback, it had the two young people, the two old people who were supposed to portray as young people, it kind of looked better because it was the three, it was Tron, Clue, and young Jeffrey and young Quinn. Standing next to each other. It just looked better then. But, yeah. Sorry for cutting it.
That's good. That's fine. Going into my end complaints, there were two things. And I've said this before, but, again, one being, it's just a nitpick with Clue and the young Jeff Bridges. There were a few scenes for me that it did take me out of the movie because it's like, it's not their fault, but it, just when you're comparing it to hit the Clue or the young Jeff Bridges to an actual person, I noticed it. It wasn't there a lot of times, but again, for the most part, I did notice it. Again, I can't blame the people who are working on it. Sure, they did the best they could. It's just that hopefully a couple of years down, they'll be able to perfect that. One thing that was the pacing of the movie at a certain point when they were on the train going to the portal. They had a bunch of flashbacks about downtime to talk about how this person get here, what happened to the grid, who was Cora, and that was fine. It did its job. It was meant to be that. But I felt like it went a little too long. Like it did drag on a bit. So, really, those were the only two things that I had a problem with. But I think that's about it. So, I'm going to go on to Bob, since you've been gone. What were the things that you liked about the movie? You can pick out anything that you saw in the movie that you really did like and whatnot.
I really liked the thing that you did like so much, which is the whole solar scene. Mm-hmm. Because I liked it because it's... Up until that point, everything had been a rush, which suited the way it was going. And at that point, they actually had a time to take a breath. They had a time to take a breath, and it gave Kevin and Sam a chance to talk to each other and, you know, interact and be more father and son-like. Mm-hmm. It gave us a chance for everyone to know who Cora is, even though everybody knew who it was at the start, because it's pretty damn obvious. And it gave us a chance to see what Kevin Flynn's capable of as well. And he got a lot out of it. And there was really some of the best acting in the film was in that scene. I loved that bit. Mm-hmm. I also loved the fact that Sam Flynn doesn't freak out when he's in the inner world completely. He's there, but then he remembers that his dad was there. So this all kind of makes sense. He also knows a little bit of combat, but not enough so that it's stupid. So he knows how to look after himself, but he doesn't know how to take care of all the business, if you know what I mean. And that's made apparent from the initial scenes of the film. I like how Sam's built up. Those are probably my favorite things. The way Sam's character's built up and the solar sail thing.
That's cool. Were there any parts of the movie that you haven't discussed that you didn't like about the movie? Were there things that you had either can nitpick or just things that you thought they could have done better?
Well, nitpicking, obviously we've been to Clue's face. That is nitpicking because it's good enough that you know who it is and it works. So that's nitpicking. I think the thing I disliked most was the use of Tron.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to cover this later rather than me going through a big spiel about it now.
Yeah, we'll leave that. We can leave that for the next thing, but like just overall.
Okay, I'll leave that there. That again is nitpicking because although it isn't done badly in the film, I think they could have done better, if you know what I mean. And I don't like Martin Sheen's character, that Zeus guy in the bar.
Okay.
I thought when he first came across, when you first meet him, he's overly camp, generic, I'm now a bartender character.
Mm-hmm.
He goes upstairs and he talks about how he used to be called Zeus and all this other stuff. And you expect the character to change. You expect the character to become more interesting, but he's not. He's still this generic, overly camp bar manager that gets more camp the longer the character's on screen. And by the time at the end of it with Clue, he's practically screaming to be abused anally. He's so horrifically camp.
He's David Bowie.
No, that's the thing. David Bowie was a little bit camp, but he was still essentially a man. This character, and it's not the actor's fault. You can tell that the actor is struggling against it. The character himself is too camp.
Mm-hmm.
The character should not have been made camp in the first place. He should have been a straight character, or at least the bartender character could have been camp, and then when he went to speak to him, he goes dead serious and right down to business, which is how he kind of starts, and then he goes crazy and starts firing his gun randomly. He is the worst character in the thing. He nearly ruined that entire sequence for me.
Okay.
But there you go.
Alright.
That's me done.
Okay, yeah, of course. Alright. Better really touch on this. Probably should have done this in the beginning, but who cares? I heard a lot of complaints about the story not being good at all. Like, that this movie is all about just special effects and music and that's it. The story is nothing. Basically, that's what I've heard.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
I think the people who are bitching about, like, the story being generic and the special effects being good are people that say that Avatar had a good story and had great special effects.
Alright. Bob, what do you think of the story overall?
I think, let's be honest, it's not going to win any Oscars for amazing story. However, it is a solid story that... what's the correct word here? It moves on the Tron universe well. And it's very good at keeping the kind of like the improvement of Tron. It's kind of hard to explain. It brings all the characters forward and it brings a huge depth to the life within the grid that was seen in the first film. The scene in the first film was very much touched upon and you kind of see an evolution of it within the game here. I mean, this within the game, within the film, the new film. I think it has... It doesn't really have a flaw, but it doesn't have anything particularly great either, if you know what I mean. There's lots of nods back to the old film, little few nods here and there, but essentially it is very much a case of these are the characters, this is what they've got to do. One thing I like best about the story is there's no problem between Kevin and Sam. Sam doesn't come in with a chip and his soldier about his dad leaving him or his dad being stuck there. He's just glad to see him, which is how you'd imagine most people act. Isn't that at all weird? And the fact that Sam is he's still rebelling because he doesn't think he's good enough to follow in his dad's footsteps yet at the start of the film, and then at the end he's changed completely and he knows what he's got to do. And I like the way that that's all kind of brought together. Like I said, I think the Solar Sailor goes a long way towards doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's my general opinion. I think it does its job, but it's not going to win any Oscars.
Yeah. All right. Sean,
Excellent.
That's yeah, I don't know what to say on that one, so come back to me.
Fine. Sorry.
You're throwing everything off right now. You're not allowed to do these anymore.
Ruined forever.
All right, we'll go back to you. Moon, sorry. What do you think?
Well, I thought the story did what it needed to do. Basically, it picks up where it was all left off in the first one. Kevin was the CEO of NCOM. He disappears. He has a son who he leaves behind after his wife dies, and the son's rebelling, and it did what it needed to do, basically. That's all I have to say about it. And people who bitch about it need to jump off a bridge.
Nice.
You're welcome.
Josh, what'd you think of the story?
When you break it down, Tron Legacy is exactly what it says. It's a legacy. It's a story about a father and a son, and the father passing down what he has to his son. He's pretty much given his son the grid in the end, and it's a solid story. I just really enjoyed it, and it uses, like, the grid and everything to get its message across.
All right. With me, I have to agree that the story, while it's not going to win any Oscars, but it was a solid story, and it did what it needed to do. It's just basically people were expecting some sort of, I have no idea what they were expecting, some sort of very mind-bending craziness. But that wasn't what it was. It had a story of a son wanting to, you know, knows that he has this big legacy with his dad, but doesn't feel like he can do it. He kind of wants to do his own thing, but again, at the same time, he doesn't hate his dad for leaving or stuff like that. He doesn't resent him. And then being pushed into this thing at the end and wanting to get his dad out of the grid. I think that's basically what people had the problem with, was that, well, while they were in the grid, they didn't really do anything. It wasn't really the point. It was he wanted to get his dad out. There was only a limited time to get out of the grid and back to reality. And that's what it was. That's what it was. There wasn't no, oh, we gotta take down Clue and do this big plan to free all the users. That wasn't what it was. Like I said, he wanted to get his dad out, and once they were out, they'll figure something out what to do with the grid, and that's what it was. And again, with the story, the whole story itself, it was well done for what it was, and that's what I have to say about it. Sean.
Yes.
Have you figured?
Yeah, now I figured out what I have to say because, I know what I have to say. It is a pickup right where the first movie left off. And when I mean right when it left off, a couple of years after Kevin has become the CEO of NCOM, the overall storyline of him knowing that he could go inside and build this system, which is a lot easier than just typing on a keyboard and all this, more because, like he said in the movie, a second on the grid is like 8 hours at home. So reversed. Yeah, reversed. I mean, sorry.
Like 8 hours in the real.
Yeah. So it, you know, so you can imagine Kevin Flynn has been in this grid for, 20 years out here. So imagine how long it's been inside the grid. And that's something else that people were griping about. And I need to go with this is, why is he all Zen like? Because he saw something that no one should see. He saw mass genocide, and he's trying to make up that, finding inner peace because he witnessed something he was trying to create, destroyed and corrupted. It's like somebody told me, they didn't like how Clue was acting. Clue was acting as he was programmed. He was given a set of instructions, and he was following those set of instructions to the letter. That's why if Kevin Flynn was, Clue wasn't created, Kevin Flynn have more scope and see things out differently. To me, the whole story was fantastic. It was, I mean, a great story overall.
Very nice. And I just want... Go ahead.
I think if the people who were, like, complaining about what Clue was doing obviously didn't pay attention to the movie, because Clue was created to create the perfect system when Kevin wasn't there. Kevin didn't know what a perfect system was, which is what he said in the end. He's like, nothing's perfect. It's so Clue shouldn't know what the perfect system is, which is why he didn't like the ISOs, and which is why he performed the mass genocide against the ISOs, leaving Koro the sole ISO.
Very nice, man. I was about to say that. Glad you did it. You said it a lot better than I was going to say.
You're welcome.
Yeah. all right. Really, last thing we're going to point out before there's anything else people want to talk about. Rizzler.
No.
A.K.A. Tron. All right. Bob, go.
Right, first thing, I don't know why Vinja has to go around making predator sounds.
He said the word user when he was Rinsler, though. He's able to talk.
Whoa. I didn't say he wasn't.
Oh.
Right? All I said was, when he's walking around doing stuff, he keeps going, like some kind of either horny kitten or predator. Which is a little bit off-putting. It's a little bit off-putting. Now, when he talks and everything, again, the fact that he's Tron is spoiled within the first few moments of the film by anyone who's seen the first one when he goes, "A user," in Bruce Boxleitner's voice. And you're like, so that's Tron there.
Even if you know Bruce Boxleitner's voice, you should know that that's him immediately after he says, "A user."
Yeah. So, I've spoken in great depth with this with Moon, at least with Moon Bayless. I think I have a few as well, Alex. Mm-hmm. Essentially, with Tron, they did it well enough for the film, but it needed more Tron. I said this before. What they should have done is, at the point when Sam goes to get the disc, he gets the disc, Rinsler shows up. Should have been a confrontation where Tron stops himself from killing Sam because he realizes he's a user. And he just stops. Sam escapes the thing. As they go to escape in the jet, he can't because there's a bunch of guard in the way. Then all of a sudden, Rinsler / Tron jumps out, shouts go like he did to Kevin back in the day, and starts kicking the shit out of the guard, giving them enough of an opportunity to get away in the jet. They get away in the jet. The last thing they saw was Tron fighting the things, and then Clue goes after him. And then it's Clue who does all the damage to the ship after all the other guys killed. Just as they think Clue's going to take the death shot, Tron flies in, hits him, saying, "I fight for the users." The rest of the film carries on as it did. I think that would have been a better way to bring in Tron and give people more Tron time. I also think that the period where they show Tron being taken out was weak. Tron is there with Kevin Flynn. Four guards show up with Clue and go to attack Kevin Flynn, Tron tries to stop him. Tron easily takes out all of the guards, as you'd expect Tron to do.
And takes one of their identity discs.
And takes one of their discs, so he's now got two discs. Now, for obvious reasons, he doesn't throw a disc to get Clue, because he might hit Kevin. So that's not a problem where he attacks, shows attackers. So there's only some guy saying, "Why doesn't he just throw a disc?" Because he doesn't know what Kevin's going to do, doesn't know what Clue's going to do. So it makes sense. He goes in and tackles him. Now, this is the bit that doesn't make any sense. Clue easily overpowers Tron and takes him out. That doesn't fit with how Tron's portrayed before, after, and during this film. Also, Tron doesn't... when all that's left is Tron, Clue, and Flynn, Tron's still shouting at Flynn to run! Why? Why don't you just ask Flynn, get him in the head while I've got him distracted? Chop his head off. He doesn't say anything like that, which it would have been better for that scene if there was more guards coming, or at least more guards to attack Tron, and then it would have made more sense as to why Tron was so desperate for Flynn to escape, and why Tron got taken out. But as it seems, it was a bit of a kind of an anti-climax. Tron just kind of fell over and got hit. I don't know. I don't know if anyone agrees. Anybody else agree with that? Or?
I have a theory about that, Mom.
Yikes. I'm scared.
No, think about
so
it.
So am I.
Okay. Do you remember there's a statement where Sam is talking to Cora. He says, why doesn't he just delete Clue? And Cora says, that would mean reintegration, and it would kill him.
Well, what do you think happened in the end?
What you're talking about is him just deleting him as in the system, which is fine. That's what he could do. I'm talking about killing him with a light disc.
Here's my theory about that. Maybe we're not catching. Maybe they left it out as a plot hole. If there's some kind of physical connection that we don't know about, because it's basically Clue and Kevin Flynn are basically connected somehow. That if damaging Clue could end up hurting Kevin as well.
No.
Well,
it goes against what's. I know. It just goes against what's already been said in the Tronverse.
Yeah.
Also, if that was the case, then Clue would have no fear about being attacked by anyone, because nobody would attack him, because anybody who's against Clue is for Flynn. So everyone would be worried about that. Cora has no problem attacking Clue. Nobody has a problem with attacking Clue. It's just at any point.
Unless
Sam attacks Clue at the end,
mm-hmm.
and it does nothing to Kevin.
True. Or unless that Tron didn't really want to hurt Clue, thinking that he could be saved.
Yeah, but even then, why ask Kevin to run when there's only two left?
Because unless he didn't know if there's more coming, so.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say, Sean, is that you're saying lots of ifs and buts and whatevers. What I'm trying to say is it'd be great if they put it on visually.
Yeah.
I know you can explain away anything if you've given enough time and enough monkeys. Anything can be explained away. I'm not trying to say that there's no possible explanation for this. I'm trying to say they should have made it more obvious in the film. I'm trying to say that if all they had to do was add more guards going in, then it would have made that whole scene make more sense. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just wondering, do you agree, Moon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let me try to take this back a bit. Kind of going off track, but that was good. That was good. All right. Sean.
Yes.
Rinsler, Tron. Go.
Okay. I liked him. It was really cool. I need to get the figure. Because, my gosh, even when you... Okay, for all of us that have seen Tron, even before seeing Tron Legacy, we had the sneaking suspicion that Rinsler was Tron. For one reason and one reason only. The design underneath his neck was the same as what was on Tron's chest. Right?
Uh-huh.
So I was like... I'm like, I don't, maybe he's a copy program of Tron or something. But then when we realized, okay, Rinsler was Tron, yeah, it was awesome. And again, with Bob, they should have done more with him. But overall, I liked the character. Even his predator growls.
Horny kid.
Moon.
Rinsler's freaking awesome. Just the way that he fights, it definitely alludes to Tron, how he is a fighter and he fights for the users. And it just, Rinsler's awesome. And it's awesome to have the clarification now that he was Tron. Like, everybody before the movie's coming out, is Rinsler Tron? Who is he? Blah, 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 blah. I think that was one of the big questions that were answered from this movie, even though it was pretty obvious to begin with. But we just needed the clarification in the end, and I thought that was awesome. But I didn't like how Tron went out, though. They allude to that in the game, Evolution. They do show that scene where Clue starts the coup against Flynn and Tron, but they don't really show it because it's not really, the game isn't really in the eyes of Kevin Flynn and Tron. It's in the eyes of that one program that Flynn created to monitor the system. Aside from Clue, but I just didn't like how Tron went out when he was first reprogrammed as Rinsler. But it was freaking awesome.
All right, cool. All right, Josh.
Well, first off, let's start with my theory on why I thought Rinsler was Tron. The double identity discs, it implied like he has two identities. One is Rinsler and the other is Tron. Just a bit of symbolism there I found interesting. But I agree, we definitely need more Tron. Maybe if he had, like, done a, like, tried a few times, like, having Tron resurface, like, from Rinsler at times in the movie, but Clue suppressing it. And I would have also liked to see, like, some type of torture scene where or Clue is reprogramming Tron into Rinsler. I just think that would have been a cool addition. I also do think Tron is dead because the Sia simulation was poisoned, and that other guy, and that's why no more ISOs can be born. I just think they're leaving it ambiguous because he didn't de-res, but I'd say he's dead. But he went out as Tron, he went out fighting for the users.
I disagree with a lot of what you said.
Okay, debate.
Okay, well, the two identity disc thing is purely based on the fact that he took another identity disc off a guy when he was fighting just before he got crippled by Clue.
I know, I just thought that was, like, also a bit of a symbolic thing. Like, you know, two identity discs, two identities.
Right.
More
well,
of a
No, that makes sense. No, I can see your logic there. The other bit you say about Tron dying, he quite clearly doesn't die. If you know what I mean, it isn't that he doesn't de-res, it's the fact that he falls into the sea, which as far is only poisoned to the state of ISOs. That's always made clear in the comic book. It's only poisoned as far as the ISOs are concerned. It never says anything about normal programs, and also the fact that if anything, it purifies him. Because all the red leaves, and it's replaced with blue. Now, if he died, he'd be turned black. But he doesn't, he gets turned blue. So to me, that says if anything, he's back alive. And I think the fact that he fell in the sea saved him, because when the big explosion happened, which took out the tower, he would have been safe because he was in this water. So if anything, he's more likely to survive than anybody else in the general vicinity.
Yeah. Okay, good point. I still think it's possible for him to be dead, though, but...
It's possible. It is definitely possible. I'll definitely give you a possible there. There's no way it's impossible he's dead, let's be honest.
Yeah. With me, Rinsler, Tron, I thought Rinsler was really badass. He was really cool. Just the fact that he could basically take on as Tron, he could basically take on as many guards and still kick ass. And I do agree that, you know, how he got defeated by Clue was a bit weak. And, I would have liked to see some kind of like, as the movie was going on, he was kind of like fighting with himself, trying to have Tron come out of it, but still have Rinsler is still dominant. And then at the end, you know, that whole thing was cool at the end when he just realizes after seeing Kevin Flynn, and he just goes, I fight for the user, and just crashes right into Clue. I thought that was really cool. And I kind of wish there was more to Tron after, you know, he went from Rinsler to Tron, which we could have, like, seen him, like, coming back, kind of, like, helping Kevin out again. So, but it does lead to the fact that, is he alive? Is he dead? Not really sure. I'm saying he could be alive, in my opinion. But it definitely leads to, when the third one, is he going to be around? Is he not? Overall, Rinsler and Tron, I thought was really cool. All right, I'm really done with anything I could come up with. Just going to go down to the list of anything you guys want to talk about. Any last thoughts that you have, Bob?
last one. I know Joss touched on this earlier as a negative, but essentially the ending of the film, which I liked, I like to point out, but I like the fact that they haven't said that he's necessarily saved the grid and the light disc. Because it's been a while, I can't remember the ending specifically, but it's quite amusing to recognise that back in 1989, that amount of computing power would probably give you a few hundred meg, maybe a gig. And obviously the Nokia phone he has there would easily have, what, 8 gig on it?
Yeah.
It's quite easy to conceive that the identity disc that he has, you know, on his chest, looks like a dog tag, identity disc. It's Kevin Flynn's identity disc. But in his phone, he's backed up the grid. That's what I think happened. Like I said, I haven't seen the ending again, so I could be confusing it. But that makes sense to me. I like to think of it that way. But whatever they decide to do, I like the fact that they're opening, so it means they don't have to worry when they go to make a third one.
Mm-hmm. Sean, any last things you want to talk about?
Oh, I happened to find out how they did... They made Jeff Bridges younger.
All right, go for it.
I saw a thing this morning, and I always thought that they used, like, another actor when they were on the screen together and just, like, a blue sock over his head and just transported an image, right?
A wizard did it.
Shut up, Josh.
Come
to find out, Jeff Bridges had to shave the beard and he slicked his head back because they put all those little dots on his face, and he wore a contraption of many cameras on his head, and he actually played the part as Clue and as older Kevin at the same time. Well, not at the same time, but he did that part, and that's how they were able to re-age him or de-age him, because of all that information. So they get the voice, the lip syncing right, and everything. Instead of trying to, because I think it would probably have taken them longer to put the movie out if they just had to write all the programs and match up the voices and stuff like that. So I thought that was pretty neat on how they did it.
Well,
I was just going to say, didn't EA do all the motion capturing for this film? Was it actually EA, Electronic Arts, that did it all?
I'm not sure.
I thought it was. I heard it was, anyway. I heard EA. It was the first time ever a game company has been brought in to do the motion capture and motion fighting for a film. That's what I heard.
Oh. But what you were saying, Sean, about how them taking longer to do the film, I don't know if you know this. They did finish filming, I think, about a year and a half ago for this. The rest of the time was used for the CGI. So they had a good, like, year and a half to do the CGI. So, yeah, anyway, just wanted to throw that in there.
All right. Moon, any last things you want to talk about, discuss?
2 points. One, I do have to say, I don't think I said this yet, but I loved how they, the whole story with Sam and Kevin, just like, they technically pick up where they left off, and I just, the chemistry between Jeff Bridges and Garrett Hedlund was awesome, and I know, like you guys were saying before, you were expecting to hate Sam Flynn, and I think he's made a pretty decent character. Same with Cora. Mm. Like, most people expect and I'm not trying to be, like, sexist or anything in this, but most people, when they see a movie like this and they see a woman in it, they think she's just going to be the stupid, like, side character that people won't like or whatever. I'm just going to go with Megan Fox in Transformers movies. Just going to say that. But the aggression from Cora, as well as her willingness to learn, like, in the one scene where she's showing Sam all the books, and she grabs Moby Dick. Was it Moby Dick?
I think it was the Time Machine, because you mentioned Jules Verne.
It was a Jules Verne book. And she goes, I love Jules Verne. Do you know him? And Sam's like, yeah. And she's like, what's he like? I just thought that was hilarious.
She has a certain childlike naivete to her.
Yeah. In English next time, but yeah.
Hey, Josh, quick statement. No using big words around Moon.
Yeah, seriously.
Naivety is not a big word.
It's just, to Moon it is.
It's weird. Anyway, second point. I was talking with the Zizzler, Zach, yesterday on Twitter a bit, because he just saw the movie. And he was saying how Tron became a user at the end. I just need to say this now. That's not what happened. And he says that the white light on a program's body represents the user. That's not kind of what happens. And I just want to, like, make this clear in case some people don't know, and that's what they think. the white light means that you are a certain special program, and that's what, like, why Sam is white, that's why Kevin's white. I believe Cora has a hint of white in her as well as the light. And
I think Cora was like a light blue.
It was like a light blue, whitish. There was a hint of white in it, that's what I'm saying. And if you play the game later on in the game, so I'm not trying to get all spoilish on the game, because I know some people in here haven't played it. Bob.
Me! I get it for Christmas. It's like 2 days, I'll have it.
I know. But Anon, later on in the game, he meets Kevin, and he becomes white as well, because Kevin tinkered with his programming as well. White just means that you're a special type of program in the grid. So that's a little clarification on that. Yeah.
It's like how Clue's the only other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, with the
administrator. He's the only system administrator.
And it's like the whole different coloring in this. I just thought, like, in the first movie, you only had the two generic colors. You had blue and you had red, with Clue being the exception and the first one being yellow. In this one, you had white, you had blue, you had red, you had yellow, you actually have some green people in there, too.
I mean, he doesn't like his green people.
No, I'm not trying to like be racist against these programs.
You're a programist.
Yeah, fuck them. Sorry. But, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah. All right, I'm done.
All right. Josh, any last things you want to talk about?
Kevin Flynn is the dude. I'm serious. If you have seen The Big Lebowski, some of the stuff that Jeff Bridges says as Kevin Flynn, it just seems like he took some of the dude and put it into Kevin's character. And well, that's a pretty cool thing.
If you want to, like, get technical, and I think I mentioned this before in a conversation earlier, I think it was with Bob, the way that Kevin was talking in this, it definitely shows that he is from the 1980s. And the way that he talks, he's like, when Sam and Cora jumped out the building after grabbing Kevin's light disc, it's just like he's looking up. It's like, radical, man. It's like, that's just freaking awesome, him taking what they used to say in the 80s and bringing it to now, because he technically is an 80s person. He hasn't seen the real world in 20 years. I just thought that was awesome.
Yeah. I love the fact that everything was about him being... He hasn't actually evolved. Out of everything around him that's changed and everything, he himself hasn't. And all his stuff there was just from inner thinking, because he had to stay out of sight to keep the last ISO safe. Because that's what you find out later on. He isn't hiding for his own well-being. He's hiding to keep her safe. That was his whole point.
Yeah. He's also hiding for the well-being of the, Earth, because if Clue got his disc, then Clue could go into
No. What I mean is that, as Sean pointed out earlier, he could have reacclaimed himself, gone near Clue, and he could have absorbed Clue and killed himself. End. No threat to the outside world.
End of line.
It would have end of line, exactly. End of line. It would have destroyed his light disc. He could have done that. But if he'd done that, he would have left the last ISO in danger. Because my question was going to be, would have been at this point, why didn't he just self-sacrifice at the start to stop all this happening? And then later on, they fight. Sam makes a point to him on the Solar Sailor. Again, important thing that happens on the Solar Sailor, of saying, you weren't looking after yourself, you were keeping her safe. And I think that's an important point. Kevin was never hiding to keep himself alive. He was there to keep her safe. That's the whole point. That's what I liked.
Yeah. Wow.
Good point.
Good point. The last thing I want to say is, again, this is again what Moon said about Cora. I really, when I went in, I expect her to be a typical female character that I wouldn't want to get to know, or she'll just be very, like, in your face and whatnot, and that's not who she was. Again, she's very aggressive, like you said, but also willing to learn, very calm, but then when it came, needed to do what needed to be done, she went ahead and did what she had to do. Even though she was an importance, she still felt if she had to sacrifice herself, she was going to do it, despite what Kevin or Sam said. And with her, I just, they make a sequel, I definitely want to see more of her, if anything, along with Tron. So, and, oh, and I also got to say, last thing I want to point out, if you're going to watch this movie in IMAX 3D, do not sit in the first four rows. Just going to say that right now, ladies and gentlemen. I did it.
Or in the back. Don't sit in the back like me.
Don't sit in the back, especially in the front. Especially if you're someone who, like, are prone to get seizures. Because this, with the lights flashing everywhere, for some reason, my eyes were bugging out. So, this is a public service. You gotta sit in the middle if you're gonna watch it. Perfect middle. Gotta see it. See it then.
That's it. Only you can prevent forest fires.
The more you know.
Quick, dust cover.
But that is pretty much it. Before I wrap anything up, anyone else want to say anything? I'm gonna list anyone. Anyone want to say anything?
Jeff Bridges, but the ending, just really quick on the ending. I just want to hear what your guys, besides the fact that Kevin, Sam, download whatever he downloaded onto that, what do you guys think about Korra now being a human?
Well, who says she's human?
Well, she's out in the real world now, you know? I mean,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, but she could be out in the real world and still be an ISO.
Well, yeah, she is an ISO, but... Like, what do you think is going to... What do you think could happen? I mean, she's already saw a really crappy sunrise. I'm sorry, that was horrible.
Yes. I mean, okay, come on. They put all this CGI in the movie. Couldn't they CGI a really great sunset?
I think what happened is she'll watch the Predator and start having flashbacks of Winslow attacking her. She'll be walking past some old lady's face and hear these cats purring. And be like, oh, it's okay.
It's just this four-legged hairy creature, not Rinsley. Okay.
Well, okay.
Get away.
All right. I'll do what Moon wanted to say. No, I'm actually going to now. Bob, what do you think?
I think that's good. I think that they've left it open enough so that if you have a, they can do what they want with it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds a bit sleazy, what, kind of moon fantasy, but they can basically turn the character how they want, because this is what I like about the ending. They didn't, it's like at the ending of Tron. At the end of Tron, all you've got is Jeff Bridges is in charge. They don't necessarily say he's the CEO. He's their boss, so he's at least the boss of that building. Essentially, because NCOMs appear to be quite big. So he's the boss of there, and then he goes, and it's like, cool, that's the end of that. And then this one expands upon everything that could have been, they chose this path, which is a slight variation of the original sequel, which was supposed to be Tron 2.0, with Jet Bradley, Alan Bradley's son, going into the universe. 90s names. It carries on, and then you've got here, and they've done the same thing with the ending here. They've got the ending here, you've got the ISO. Is she actually human now, just an ISO's memory? Is she an ISO that just happens to be in the real world? When you hit her, will she de-res, or will she bleed? All these possibilities, you don't know. And I like the fact that they haven't answered. Because how many times do you watch things, read things, and go, oh, I need to know the answer, you find out the answer, and you're like, ah. I know now. Great. That's it. You're not excited about it anymore.
Yeah, it's like anticlimactic after you find out all this.
No matter what the answer could be, it's like basically the answers we have for is she human or is she ISO, is she's an ISO or she's human. Neither one is a particularly exciting answer. Not knowing is more exciting than finding out the answer. That's why I prefer what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I agree. Sunrise was shit. She's going to see a better one later.
Like, they're in California, you can't freaking get a better sunrise. I mean, come on.
Sean, what do you think about the whole Korra on Earth and the whole ending, how it ended. What'd you think?
Let's see. Here's the thing. You see Korra when there's nobody else around her. What if only Sam can see her?
She's not a ghost.
Fucking hell.
She's not a ghost. And obviously, no. Technically, somebody was around when you saw Korra. If you noticed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Alan. Hello.
Alan walked out.
Walking out of the arcade.
Maybe
and
she
Alan,
is. Maybe.
Alan had to have been there because Sam paged him in the end, and Alan showed up in the arcade. Korra's standing outside. We don't know this yet, but she's standing outside. Sam's saying, oh, yeah, I'll be there at 8 o'clock on Monday. I'm taking back the company. And then, boom, Alan saw Korra, had to have seen Korra outside. So there's no way he could have missed her. So...
I don't like ghost theory. Let's not have a ghost theory. Let's not make this fucking weird.
Would you like for me to move along, then?
Please.
Pie, there you go.
Alright, Josh. Josh, what do you think about Korra on Earth and how it ended and whatnot?
I think if some studio executive wanted to, they could make a Tron sitcom with her adjusting to life on Earth. But in all seriousness, it was a good ending. She finally got to see a sunrise, albeit a crappy one. She kind of got what she wanted. And the future's open, endless possibilities. They got her to Earth. They can use her for whatever Kevin Flynn planned for her. She can have a normal life. Yeah, I know that.
She could be hoard till she dies.
I have to say, though, going back to your sitcom idea, that ghost thing that Sean was saying doesn't sound so bad.
Oh, man.
Sorry, we need to put some more RAM into you.
RAM's dead.
They can make RAM 2.0 like Kevin did Clue 2.0.
Oh.
No. Right, RAM's dead. Right. Nobody likes RAM.
Okay.
Dude, I saw people complaining. I want to see Krom again. No, Krom was a bitch. He's a little, like, freaking bitch.
Which one was Krom?
The one that got killed when Kevin first got into the games in the first movie.
Oh, with the big fat twat.
Yeah, big fat twat.
Who gives a crap about him? That's about him.
I just remembered something. Dillinger's son.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, we completely missed that.
I called that before the film was out. Moon can testify to that.
Yeah, he linked me to the Tron Legacy page on IMDb, and it said Cillian Murphy playing Edward Dillinger. I'm like, what? So we were first contemplating, oh, maybe it's like a younger version of Ed Dillinger from the first movie. No, it's his son. That's awesome.
Yeah,
and that's really something that can go somewhere if they want to do it with a sequel. But, like, as soon as I saw him, I was like, that bastard. Like, I thought this guy was going to play a huge role, but he didn't really. And he was just there to act smug and say, ha, we took the company away from Kevin Flynn.
Well, technically, he did have. It was an uncredited cameo role for him, so it definitely. Yeah. If they want to expand on his character in the next, if they do a next movie, that would be a good thing, which would be pretty cool. Another Dillinger Flynn fight would be really cool to see. Yeah.
The sons of. All right,
don't even go there, Sean.
No, I was just saying, the sons of Flynn and Dillinger. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
That's what I said.
All right, Josh, you got anything else to say?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right, okay, there we go. And, you know, that was pretty interesting. I brought in a character, because I'm thinking now, for a sequel, what if he, like, gets a hold of that thing around Sam's neck? And he's able to, you know, manipulate it and creates, like, a grid of his own, which is very crazy-like. And I don't know, just with that, just that character alone in the sequel would be very interesting. But with...
MCP 2.0.
Oh, and Sark 2. Oh, that would be horrible.
it's not as bad as a ghost, at least.
Yeah. But
Ghost Cora.
What I think is going to happen, you know, with Cora being on Earth, which is pretty cool, I'm thinking that it's going to take place another 20 years. Sam and Cora got it on, and they have a kid. He's got, like, super computer powers, and it's going to be like that.
Ben 10.
But seriously, it's really hard because they leave it open to so many possibilities of what they can do with Cora, with all the characters that they just left off without any kind of really ending. So it's really hard to think. I'm thinking that in the next movie, you know, she is working along with Sam and Encom and with her abilities or, you know, things that she's able to do, kind of make the, you know, our world a really awesome place, but same time something happens, and I don't know, again, there's really a lot of things that I can think of that what could go in a sequel, and they could all be totally wrong, but I really dug the ending, the sunrise, agree, very shit, but
It's the thought that counts.
It's the thought. Yeah. It's the thought that...
It's like when your daughter gives you a little shitty picture, and they go, it's a cheetah? If you say so.
Oh, it's the best cheetah I have ever seen, dear.
I'll put it on the pile of a shit.
You know, in every Disney movie, they have to screw one thing up, and this one, it was the sunset. Sunrise, whatever you want to call it.
Hey, but she saw a sunset, crappy as it was, and it made her happy. And she was able to see it, so...
But this is big, beautiful. What the hell were you smoking when you saw the sun, Sam?
I was getting her voice on the back of the thing. I don't know if she saw the look on her face. I said, Jesus, she's going to be easy to please.
Actually, I'm thinking about it now. She did have a bit of a disappointing face while looking at that sunset, sunrise, whatever.
She had a really happy face.
She was just like, it's like I'm finally here. I'm seeing the sun, and I miss all my peeps, my ISO peeps. It's just,
they've been dead for years. She's over it.
Wait a minute. Yeah. The moon just said, I miss my ISO peeps.
Shut up, ghost boy.
All right, it's going. Wow, this episode, well, this is not even an episode. This podcast itself has been pretty crazy, but we got through it without that many casualties. So, on that note, hopefully everyone, you enjoyed this, you enjoyed Tron Legacy, and just to let you know, in 2012, a Tron cartoon is going to be made. Let's let you know. Now you know.
Knowing is half the battle.
Shut up! We've already said that joke already.
Seriously. Don't play with your ghost.
At least my ghost is Cora, damn it.
All right. Bob, say your goodbyes.
Bye? I don't, my head hurts. Sean's talking.
Sean, say your very one-word goodbye. I don't want you to...
Goodbye.
All right, Moon, say your goodbyes.
Farewell, program.
Josh, say your goodbyes.
So long, everyone.
All right, and this is, once again, your awesome host, Alex Zane. Talk to you all later. Peace.
Love you, bye.